Yeah, thank you very much, operator. Yeah, this is Claus Ehrenbeck from the IR team of thyssenkrupp speaking. On behalf of the entire team, I would like to welcome to our today's conference call. We published our Q2 numbers this morning at 7:00 A.M. German time. All the relevant documents for this call you can find in the IR section on our website. I would like now to immediately hand over to Heinrich Hiesinger and Guido Kerkhoff, who will present you the Q2 numbers and are also then available for Q&A session. Heinrich, please take over.
Yeah, welcome to our earnings call. In Q2 and the first half year, we have made significant further progress on our strategic way forward, and our performance program had again strong positive impact on our profitability. Out of that program, we have achieved 550 million euro or more than 60% of the impact target for the full year after only 6 months. This is really driving our EBIT adjusted significantly up on a year-on-year basis for the third year in a row. With the 405 million, we have achieved the highest level in 14 quarters. Four out of six business areas improved their performance. Elevator reported a year-on-year improvement of the adjusted EBIT and the margin for the 10th quarter in a row. Steel Europe more than doubled its adjusted EBIT year-on-year in the first half and achieved with 113 million in Q2, its highest quarterly earnings for more than 3 years. We have again generated positive net income despite a valuation charge related to the VDM transaction. Free cash flow before divestments in the second quarter, which always includes a large part of our annual interest payments, improved significantly year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter by around 600 million to an almost break even with -55 million. Against the background of the progress made in operating performance, our growing capital goods business, and the overall stabilizing economic situation, we have specified and raised our full-year EBIT adjusted target to 1.6 billion-1.7 billion euro. We have also made further progress in exiting non-strategic assets and have signed the contracts for the sale of the VDM Group at the beginning of the third fiscal quarter. The sale will further reduce the share of volatile material businesses in our portfolio and therefore is another important step on a transformation journey towards a diversified industrial group. Upon closing, the transaction will impact positively on our net financial debt and pensions in a mid-three-digit million euro amount. Just as a reminder, this brings a total accumulated positive effect from our stainless exit up to now around 2 billion in cash-like items, and reduced pension obligations. All in all, our business has held up well in an overall still challenging economic environment. Group orders increased to 10.4 billion euro, benefiting clearly from positive FX effects and portfolio effects, and from organic growth from our two units, Components Technology and Elevators. On a comparable basis, group orders declined by 6%, reflecting raw material-driven weaker pricing at our material businesses, as well as temporarily weaker orders at Industrial Solutions. As you know, orders at IS can come in at chunky pieces, and we are happy that we could inform you yesterday about an agreement with Israel on 4 corvettes with an order volume of 430 million euro, which we will book most likely in Q4. Components and Elevator achieved double-digit year-on-year order growth, both in the first half year as well in the second quarter. This increase at Components Technology reflects on the auto side the ramp-up with new products and plants, and an increased demand for our axle module assembly as well as positive translation effects. On the industrial side, orders increased especially for wind turbine components in China. Elevator could lift orders in a seasonally softer quarter to a new record level of 1.9 billion, despite China slowing down to flat unit growth, with some price pressure driven by stronger competition. Overall, orders increased year-on-year by as much as 20%, benefiting from positive FX effects and strong demand for new installations, especially in the U.S., in Middle East, and South Korea. On a comparable basis, orders improved by 7%. Orders in hand also reached a new record level of 4.9 billion, and together with the order backlog at IS, comes to a total amount of almost 18 billion euro, which is clearly a solid basis for the profitable sales growth, which we do target for the full year. At Industrial Solutions, orders in the second quarter were temporarily softer. Following steady to rising order intake at Process and Resource Technology in Q1, customers here showed a temporary reluctance to place new orders. Clearly, midterm, low oil price and gas prices are providing tailwinds for our petrochemical businesses. Short-term uncertainty and volatility led to late investment decision, notwithstanding high continuing demand and promising negotiations on planned projects. The attractive gas prices clearly drives good prospects for fertilizer and polymer plants, especially in U.S. In Q2, we could also win a bigger order, a follow-up order for a fertilizer plant in the mid two-digit million range in Hungary. On the cement side, we do see sustained high demand for cement plants, driven by infrastructure growth in emerging markets, as well as low U.S. energy prices. Remember, after a sizable order to build the most technologically advanced and environmentally sound cement plant of its kind in Canada in first half year, we continue to see good prospects for cement plants in the second half of the year. Mining is a slightly different story. Ongoing lower new installations and greenfield demand will not entirely be cushioned by good level of replacement and service orders. But high order backlog and demand for more efficient products and solutions secure a solid performance. Our auto plant business can really grow with continued good conditions in U.S., Europe, and China, as well as some new project opportunities coming from the aerospace industry. Marine Systems clearly is strongly behind prior year level. Here, we could only gain smaller service orders, but we really continue to see good prospects, and I think the announcement made yesterday is a clear proof point of this one. Lower energy prices and a declining interest and FX rate do have a stabilizing effect on private consumption and are beneficial for the competitiveness of important customers industry in the Eurozone. The high order backlog with good earnings quality at Elevator and Industrial Solutions already secures our targeted profitable sales growth well or nearly close for the full year. Given the progress in our operating performance and in executing on our impact measures, we have thus specified and raised our impact and EBIT adjusted targets to 1.6 billion-1.7 billion, despite the strike at AST, which hit us in Q1, despite the extra headwinds from falling prices at our material distribution businesses, and despite significant negative effects on the sales tax asset at CSA in Brazil in Q2. With that, I would ask Guido to give some more details on the EBIT side.
Warm welcome from my side as well. EBIT adjusted of the group increased by around 30% year-on-year, as well as quarter-on-quarter to a highest level in 14 quarters. Four out of six BAs improved year-on-year as well as quarter-on-quarter. Year-on-year, EBIT adjusted was up at all BAs with the exception of billing-related temporarily slightly lower contributions from IS, as well as lower contributions from material services due to extra margin headwinds from continuously falling materials prices. Nevertheless, the new industrial plan being implemented at AST is already showing clear progress with a positive contribution of the Italian stainless business to the adjusted EBIT of MX in Q2. Quarter on quarter, EBIT adjusted improved at all BAs apart from seasonally slightly lower earnings at ET and lower figures at Americas due to negative FX effects on the sales tax asset at CSA. Components, the year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter increase to 83 million euros. EBIT adjusted in Q2 was driven by a strong performance from the industrial components business, efficiency measures, and growth. Margins were up quarter-on-quarter and flat year-on-year, despite higher logistics costs for new products, negative transaction effects from stronger Swiss franc, a major repair at our crankshaft business, and mixed effects from the strong growth in axle module assembly business. At elevators, EBIT adjusted in Q2 was up 17% to 168 million euros due to higher margins up 50 basis points and top-line growth with sales up 12%, driving the 10th year-on-year increase in EBIT adjusted and margin in a row. Steel Europe, quarter-on-quarter higher EBIT adjusted reflects mainly higher shipments and efficiency gains from our best-in-class reloaded, which more than compensates for lower average selling prices. The operating progress brings us to a positive net income in Q2 of 45 million euros or 9 cents per share. Despite the valuation charge of 119 million related to the sale of the VDM group, underlying this also represents an improvement versus prior year quarter, which benefited overall from positive M&A effects, including in particular a positive effect in the financial line from the OTK transaction. After special items, EBIT from continuing operations came to 201 million in the reporting quarter. Special items included in particular the aforementioned valuation charge of 119 million, as well as a purely technical effect of 55 million related to the transaction, reflecting a capitalization of deferred tax assets created by differences between tax accounting and IFRS accounting, which is reversed at the tax line. We have already fully covered the effects from the valuation charge in our Q2 numbers, and upon closing, we will realize the positive effects, including Forex-related OCI recycling of 14 million euros, as well as in particular a reduction of our net debt figure and pension liabilities in a three-digit million euro amount, bringing the total accumulated positive effect from our stainless exit up to now to around 2 billion in cash, cash-like items, and reduced pensions. And still, we have AST on our hands. The relatively low tax rate in Q2 is explained by the aforementioned technical effect. Full-year tax rate expectations remain at a still a bit elevated level of about 50%, explained by a somewhat unfavorable country mix, and significantly declining but still negative effects from not capitalizing tax loss carryforwards, especially at CSA. Full-year net income expectations remains to significantly improve versus the 195 million generated in the financial year 13-14. So net income in H2 should be also above H1, similar to EBIT, as well as cash flow. Free cash flow before divest in H1 improved year-on-year by 154 million to a still negative minus 706 million. But as expected, remained clearly negative due to aperiodic networking capital effects, which were mainly due in Q1 and due to payment deferrals and a temporarily lower order intake at Industrial Solutions. However, free cash flow before divest was well within the corridor predicted for the first two quarters and well in line with our full-year forecast. In Q2, which includes a large part of our annual interest payments, it improved significantly year on year as well as quarter on quarter by around 600 million to an almost break even at minus 55, reflecting continuously aggressive networking capital management across all business areas, aiming at contributing to the group target. We therefore continue to expect clear progress for the full year with at least break even free cash flow before divest. Quarter-on-quarter, gearing increased temporarily from 145% to 162%, which mainly reflects negative FX effects on our net debt level, as the effects on book equity from lower discount rates on pension valuation were largely compensated by positive effects from Forex and net income. We expect a significant improvement in our gearing by the end of the current fiscal year, driven by cash flows from divestments and in particular clearly positive free cash flow before divest in the second half. Virtually all business areas should show a performance in H2, which is above the level in H1, as well as better year-on-year, driven by positive effects from seasonality and efficiency gains. Similarly, better earnings, seasonally lower net working capital requirements, and a promising project pipeline at Industrial Solutions will drive the free cash flow before divest in H2 to above 700 million euros, in line with a full-year target of being at least break-even. So, in total, we have made important progress in improving the performance ambition across the entire organization. We have once again delivered on our operational milestones in Q2. We have upgraded our impact target and thus specified and upgraded our fiscal year EBIT adjusted target. We are far away from acceptable or even targeted levels, but the strategic way forward is gaining visible traction, and the financial KPIs start to build an encouraging profile on the back of measures by impact. And of course, the impact program will not stop at the end of the fiscal 14-15. This leaves us a lot of homework and improvement potential at every BA, and thus clear value upside on our journey forward.
Well, thank you very much, Guido. Thank you very much, Heinrich. With that, we can go to the Q&A session. For that, please, operator, please take over.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash key. So once again, it's star and 1 if you wish to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of Michael Schalke. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've got a few questions, if I may. Firstly, just on Industrial Solutions, it does feel maybe orders were a little bit more pessimistic than we thought a quarter ago. So can you tell us how much, I know you talked about a better second half and similar, but how much sort of mid to long-term visibility do you have on the order book, especially in plant tech? Can you also give us a general rough breakdown of the order backlog between marine and plant tech, because marine clearly is booked out for some time, and what sort of orders, therefore, would you actually need to come through in plant tech to move from the 50% sales covered next year to much closer to 100% of sales covered for next year is the first question. The second question, just on cash flow, in the second half of the year, I guess 800 plus required. Can you give us a breakdown, more or less, of what you think that, how that emerges, the split between net working capital, prepayments, and pure operating free cash flow? And just an update, finally, on elevators, given there's clearly been a lot of discussion around the Chinese market, A, the strength of demand there, but also pricing pressures, because I think Otis in Q1 produced a very strong volume number, but very clear weak pricing number, and it does, I think, you know, conversations we've had on this call in the past suggest that pricing pressure may be intensifying in the Chinese market. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Michael, let me start with Industrial Solutions. If you look on the different elements of the business and we assess our today's sales funnels, or let's say in some of them we are quite far with the negotiations with our customers, I do believe that we can recover in the second half year on our chemical side. On our cement side, we have good prospects on our marine systems also to make a significant contribution. I think we will be short a little bit on our mining side. This might be compensated by our system business for automotive and engineering. So all in all, with the funnel which we do have, there is not a guarantee, but there is, it's funnel strong enough, which might bring us back on a prior level on order intake. So already with the backlog which we have today, 50% of the sales for next year, let's say, is more or less secured. So I think whatever comes here now is, let's say, lifting it up. Yeah. From our, let's say, backlog, 55% is marine systems, yeah, and 45 is the other plant business.
Coming to the free cash flow for the second half, It's going to be a mix of all the factors that you've mentioned, Mike. The operational result, the EBIT, will be stronger in the second half than in the first, so that will contribute to operationally better free cash generation there. Net working capital should again go down, as due to these special impacts we had in Q1, the reverse of that will continue, and lower raw material prices will be helpful therefore as well. Figures to come through there. And definitely order intake, as we've seen on Industrial Solutions, we were pretty weak in the first half. Another push will help here to achieve our targets, to achieve more than 700 to get us to at least break even. Coming to the elevator figure on China, the pricing pressure has been mentioned everywhere, and what we have seen so far is, if we take a look at our order intake, it wasn't that bad. The first 2 months this year, calendar year, were a bit weaker, but we saw again an uptake in order intake in March and April. So we're still in line with our expectations for the Chinese market.
Okay, just to follow up, if I may, then. In a market that's clearly driven by cash flow and dividends, it's early days, but you've got a pretty good visibility over cash flow, I think, for the second half of the year. So what are your thought processes at this point in time on year-end dividend, payout ratios, and similar?
Thanks for the question. Let's first get the year-end done, and then we will come with it to it. I mean, what you've seen already last year, we feel committed to pay dividends as we started with a small dividend, and let's see how we can develop it.
Okay. All right, clear. Thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from the line of Ingo Schachel. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one would be regarding the significance of the structural changes in Elevator Europe. Could you help us to get a sense for what the actual impact might be, for example, when it comes to SG&A costs compared to best-in-class peers? Do you think the step would be enough to bring your SG&A costs in line with European peers for the European segment in particular, or is it at least your midterm ambition for the European organization? And if you could also give us a sense for whether you think top-line synergies from this merger will be more important than the pure cost effect, or how that might be seen relative to each other. The second question is regarding the Industrial Solutions order intake again, and only focusing on Industrial Solutions excluding Marine Systems, obviously. Could you tell me two things? First of all, whether you have already seen any positive development in April and May so far, or whether that's a funnel which you see more materializing in the fourth quarter, and also make a quick comment whether you had any cancellations on the mining side or expect any cancellations of relevant projects, i.e. bigger than 20 million euros on the mining side for this half year.
Yeah, let me come to the simplification of the organization, our elevator business. It's definitely from a cost side a contributor to our journey towards 15%. But most important, I think the leadership team of Elevator felt that it will just, focus the organization and make it more balanced, because now we have six business units, all of them round about slightly above 2 billion, so similar size. But in the other hand, we have also streamlined it along, the major business model, because, we now have brought European countries together. In Europe, we have more a service model. So, and we have taken Middle and Near East out and pushed it into Asia Pacific, because these are more regions where we still drive primarily new installations. So I think this brings really an even stronger focus on the team, because, it's a more consistent business model within one unit. Clearly, for the mid-longer, we do expect some contribution also on the top line, but we did not give a figure so far, but we believe it's beneficial just by the fact that the people work in a model which is more, common to them. On the IS solution side, as I said, my statement before, if you look on the elements and you said do not handle MS, I clearly stated that with a funnel and in a cement business, we have already an LOI. We believe that we can recover in cement. We can also recover in chemical. We might slightly short in mining, and we have growth potential in system engineering. We did not see so far cancellations on the mining side.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Largey. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on the progress. My first question is just going back to cash flow. You know, Guido, you used to talk about EBIT of, say, 2 billion euros as the level where you really started to generate meaningful, say, positive free cash flow. But I can't help but think, looking at the progress you've made, that perhaps, like, actually the thresholds come down so that, you know, if you do get earnings back towards that level, maybe the impact's more meaningful. If that's the case, I mean, I don't, well, maybe you could talk a little about that, but if that's the case, I mean, is it really just a focus on trying to get the, you know, the balance sheet, say, delevered, and is there, like, kind of an ideal, say, gearing level you want to get to?
Well, as we clearly said, I mean, with an EBIT level of 2 billion, we not only want to cover free cash flow before divestments, but it includes dividends and other stuff as well. So if you see us now with a guidance of 1.6 to 1.7 at around break even, you know, this excludes still a dividend. So it might be including the dividend of prior year, still around break even or slightly negative. So therefore, the 2 billion, the expression we've used there, that this is needed to be stably and continuously above zero on free cash flow is still valid. Normally, beside working capital measures do someday end, and if you grow the business over time, you have to grow a little bit on working capital as well. So therefore, that's why we said it's the 2 billion. A 1.6 to 1.7 might lead us to break even if we push strongly, and this is what we go for, as our guidance clearly confirmed. Now, talking about the gearing, there is a couple of things to say around that. If you take a look at our absolute level of net debt, it is not so high. What makes our gearing pretty volatile at the moment is our equity figure. And if you take a look what effects we had to bury in there throughout this first half year, you see around 900 million net after taxes coming from pensions and a positive Forex effect of some 500 million against it. So these are huge effects, and if you take them with a single impact on the gearing levels, you see that they distort a bit. So now pensions, German pensions being valued at 1.5% discount rate, that basically means, I mean, we have the same cost increase rate and pension increase rate that we calculate for the full year. So it's a sum of the current payments. You could assume that there is not so much way down anymore. Currently, it's a bit stabilizing, but hopefully now going forward, we can stabilize our equity levels, and then with a positive free cash flow and the in-payments coming from VDM and some smaller other disposals, that we can over time improve and get it to levels below 100 as we always targeted. But the volatility on our equity is currently overshadowing our positive development on net income and on free cash flow, indeed, a bit. But we want to get down, and the more we can stabilize equity, then we will see more stable gearing developments. And in the midterm to long term, we want to be back to investment grade levels, but that's quite some way to go.
That's helpful. Thanks for that explanation. My second question, maybe in terms of trying to help you, you know, get closer to that on the balance sheet, is just along AST, and whether there's any update on the time frame there for potentially, you know, obviously there's some progress being made in turning the asset around, but in terms of actually putting it up for sale, I would say some thought the sale of VDM, which seems like a result, maybe came a little sooner than people had thought.
No, on AST, you can help me. Just take it. We got the keys here. We're ready to sell. But no, joke aside, on AST, what is important for parties that might be interested in it, and that's why we say we want a mid- to long-term sell it, first of all, is that we get the restructuring done. And as you see, we have now results that were positive on a quarterly and on the monthly basis that we're going forward now. We have more than 300 people left already, the company out of the 340 that we did in the restructuring. So operationally, and with the that we really included in material services, now I have a stronger sales force across Europe and can have more value out of the sales force here and get the appropriate margins out of the program. That seems to be very helpful. I think that was the first thing that people wanted to see, as a restructuring in Italy is always more difficult than in many other locations, so people didn't believe that we get it done. We indeed are improving here. On the other side, what you clearly have to see, the whole progress and the process that we had with Outokumpu was clearly showing us it's not so easy who can buy it. A straight sale to a European competitor doesn't seem to be that easy. Last time, the European Commission rejected that. So what is the buyer's universe? If it's outside all that group, that remains to be seen who has a risk appetite to take that over, and we want to get an appropriate valuation of it. We don't want to throw it away. It's not a fire sale. As you see, results are improving. That's why we clearly say mid to long term, it's not strategic, and once we will see that out there, there is a space where we can get an appropriate valuation and sell it, we will do it. But VDM, indeed, as the restructuring went on faster and the market is easier to assess, I think that was a lot easier. AST, we need a bit more time, and that's why we say mid to long term and are not more specific about it. We want to get a good valuation for it.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Bastian Zaganowicz. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have three questions left. So my first one is on Steel Americas, where you booked a negative 50 million tax item in your operational numbers. So that obviously means your underlying performance was pretty good and you could compensate the falling prices with lower costs. U.S. prices are now back on the rise, so is it fair to assume that Q3 and Q4 will be closer to 30 to 40 million EBIT run rate, or is there anything we're missing here? And then my second question is on material services, which looking back into the past years has been probably been more a 2.5 to 3% EBIT margin type of business, and at the moment you're obviously quite far away from that. I understand that the falling raw material prices are probably not really helpful here, but is there any other structural change, or will we get back to the previous margins level in the third and fourth quarter now that probably the largest part of the raw material price decline is behind us? Maybe I'll stop here before taking my last question.
On Americas, you rightly mentioned that we had a middle double-digit tax effect because we have to it's a non-cash one because we have to do the tax accounting in U.S. dollars as the functional currency is overall U.S. Therefore, the underlying performance, as you rightly said, is indeed a bit better. Going forward, we have to see how that develops. U.S. prices have come down. Yes, some stabilization now, but not fully through. And on the other hand, we always have to see how the development of the Forex real to U.S. dollar develops, which is, can always overshadow a bit the figures. I can understand your calculation, but I would still be a bit conservative on that side. If we can keep it on the levels where it was and it continues to improve and we will make it to around break even this year, it's going to be a strong performance of them already. On material services, yes, clearly we have seen 2.5 to 3%, and we would definitely like to get it back there. Yes, falling raw material prices, as you have to devalue your assets and your stocks, always has an impact. But still, there is strong competition on the market, and if you see our margins have come down, yes, but the differential to our competitors has stayed more or less on the same level. So we hope that with stabilizing raw materials overall, the markets can and will recover. So far, we don't see the signs for it. So unfortunately, we'll stay at lower levels than we would like to have it. But we see it compared to prior year on a stable level outside AST developing.
So we do not see this recovery if you look on the market in Q3, Q4. But as Guido said, I think it's decided that we really kept the distance to competitors. Some of them really went into losses already.
True, very true. Okay, then my last question is just to follow up on Industrial Solutions. In your base case scenario for this year, are you effectively assuming to end up with a book-to-bill ratio of more than one this year? And then secondly, squaring this over to your cash flow guidance, do you actually need some major orders or order bookings in the second half to make your free cash flow guidance? And if so, and if they do not come, would this put your free cash flow guidance at risk? Thank you.
You know, the point is you never can make it very precise because these are large orders and sometimes you are a little bit high, sometimes a little bit short. But I think from what I said before, I think it would be unlikely to really plan with a book-to-bill ratio of one. I think what we probably can come back on an order intake is might be on prior level, but this would mean that our order intake is slightly below sales. This is already what I also hinted in one of our early calls. We cannot deny that, as I said, also we are not losing orders, that our really customers are a little bit more shy to really place a final order. And for example, just let's take the example of Marine Systems. Yes, we have signed the contract yesterday, but it will take us at least 90 days to get it effective. The same is true on the LOI I just mentioned. So we have signed it, but now the customers need to bank it. So I think keeping that in mind, my clear thing is we probably have a meaningful chance to come back on prior level, but the book-to-bill might be slightly below one. And it will not endanger our guidance for the free cash flow.
Now, it's very
clear. Thank you.
You have to see there as well that the first half has been hit hardly there, and the cash in payments, down payments that we got were pretty negative, so some even close to quarter end, and it was just negative for us, so it was later. So therefore, the first half was already more than you would expect, even at a below one book-to-bill ratio.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Seth Rosenfeld. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. This is Seth Rosenfeld at Jefferies. I guess two separate questions, first on free cash flow again, and then on Steel Europe. In free cash flow, you seem to significantly beat your own target in the second quarter, coming into slightly negative. Can you just walk us through what drove that free cash flow beat? I'm looking at working capital in particular. It seemed like some of that might have been pulled out of the business, perhaps than Steel Europe. And my concern is how much of that might need to be reversed going into the third quarter. I know you mentioned earlier that for the second half of the year as a total, you expect further reduction in working capital, but it's looking at Q3 in particular. And then secondly, going over to Steel Europe, your commentary on demand is quite constructive, but your shipments were basically flat year over year in the period. Can you just walk us through what's driven that and also just comment a bit more on your outlook for European autos demand? And then secondly, how much of your Steel Europe shipments are now being exported versus being sold domestically? Thank you.
So let me come back on Q2. Yes, you rightly mentioned we were better than our expectation on Q2, and it was mainly driven by net working capital. So if you take a look, for example, at our Steel Europe figure, which came in very strong, you can clearly see that on the working capital, so on our payment terms, we had some tailwinds there that were helpful. So initially, we expected it to be a bit weaker. Therefore, some swing back in Q3. Definitely 363 coming in as a free cash flow for one quarter for Steel is definitely not repeatable. So that was helpful, clearly. On the shipments overall, Steel Europe, you know, if you take a look overall on the market, we're at a stable, flat level that we see, and we want to improve the margins here by having a better mix, having more high quality in there that we sell. And on the other hand, with Big Reloaded to improve our cost base, that's what we're mainly focusing on, and that was pretty successful. On Americas, shipments were a bit lower, yeah, and production was a bit lower. We had some issues with a blast furnace. They're over now, but that was indeed not positive on the production level overall. True, sales in the Brazilian market improved, but given the current environment of the Brazilian economy, we would like to see more there.
I mean, just to follow up within Steel Europe for your domestic sales versus exports from Europe?
Exports from Europe, we don't see a huge number there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Sylvain Brunet. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First question, perhaps if you could help us quantify the translation effect in aggregate in Q2 at group level. My second question on elevators, if you could help us give us a sense of the split between the exposure to public buildings in China versus private. My third question on Industrial Solutions, is it fair to say that delays that you saw in the booking of orders were mainly related to the Middle East. That's a fair assessment, and if yes, how much of your exposure the division is to the Middle East? And the final question is if you could help us define the timeline on the midterm targets that you define on slide 13 in the presentation, to give us a sense if we're talking a sooner timing than previously, and what you have in mind. Thank you.
Well, let me start with the Forex on our EBIT line. We had two positive contributors, main positive contributors, US dollar and renminbi, but negative was Swiss franc, so keep that in mind. It was a two-digit number, therefore, that was helpful and supportive on that side.
So from, in which regions do we have, the strongest delay in our project? Clearly, the most promising areas are right now still the U.S. and Middle East, as you said correctly, and in both of them, we have an attractive funnel, but in both of them, customs are really reluctant now to really go from a May LOI stages now into, the final date of effectiveness. So it's quite balanced, that one. So we have...
Yeah.
Midterm
target. The 2 billion, we don't see a real improvement here. I mean, it was the 1.6 to 1.7 is an increase. Yes, we saw that.